This past week, the British Medical Journal released a report calling a 1998 study linking vaccines to autism a, quote, absolute fraud. The man who led that study, Andrew Wakefield, was already stripped of his medical license in Britain last year, and the journal that published his work, Lancet, retracted it as well. Wakefield offered his reaction on CNN earlier in the week.
What this is a ruthless, pragmatic attempt to crush any investigation into valid vaccine safety.
Wakefield's study unleashed a powerful anti-vaccine movement in Europe and in the United States. Many parents, worried about reports of a link between vaccines and developmental disorders, chose and continue to choose not to have their kids immunized. One of those parents was Kelly Lasick, and one night in April 2006, Kelly and her husband were on their way out to a church dance near their home outside Pittsburgh. Before they left, their youngest son, 3-year-old Matthew, complained of a sore throat. At first, the Lasicks didn't think much of it.
So we just made sure he was okay. We went to the dance, and then when we got back, he was laboring to breathe. He was hunched over and just laboring to breathe. We figured, oh, we'll just take him to the local hospital, which is Forbes Regional.
As his fever reached 104, doctors gave Matthew Tylenol and tried to help ease his congestion. They thought it might be asthma, but the treatments weren't helping.
It was actually more of a seasoned or veteran doctor that came in, too. And then the gentleman had asked me, after he looked at him and said, did you have your son vaccinated? And at that point, you know, I said no. And then he knew exactly at that point exactly what it was. And he said, if this is what I think it is, he doesn't have that much time to live.
The doctor determined Matthew had HIB, a potentially deadly bacterial disease that leads to meningitis. Before the vaccine came onto the market in 1985, 1,000 children under age 3 died from it each year. Since then, it's been virtually eradicated, but in recent years, it's returned to children who have not received the HIB vaccine. In Matthew's case, the clock was ticking. No one was sure whether he'd live.
By Tuesday, he was starting. His blood pressure and his heart rate were fluctuating, and it was just really hard. We weren't sure if we were going to lose him or not. This is the first time I actually cried. Sorry. So at that point, you know, the doctors, the young doctors were there, and we would just whisper in his ear, and you can just see the tears coming down his face because he wasn't able to communicate with us.
Matthew spent 6 days in the hospital. Finally, on a Tuesday afternoon, after high doses of antibiotics, he came out of a medically induced coma and his breathing tube was removed.
They took the tube out, and as soon as he came out, you know, he was just learning to go to the bathroom at that point, and he said, I have to go potty. And then his favorite movie was on TV, and he just wanted to watch the movie.
Amazingly, Matthew recovered. Today, he's 7. He has no lasting brain damage or developmental effects. And at the time, this is what the lead doctor said to Kelly Lasick.
Please do me a favor, and when you know, you make a decision with your husband to get him vaccinated right away. But he said he's a one-in-a-million child that came out of this with, you know, nothing wrong with him.
Kelly Lasick's story is told in a new book by journalist Seth Mnookin. It's called The Panic Virus. Over the past 2 years, a record number of children have been diagnosed with pertussis, or whooping cough, a disease that was virtually eradicated with a vaccine. Same with measles. And Mnookin wanted to get to the bottom of the phenomenon, why so many educated parents choose to either not vaccinate their children or to wait on them.
When I started working on the book, I really had no sense one way or another what the reality of the situation was. And I started to hear a lot about it both in the media and from my friends, from my peers who were young parents or having children and were also very concerned with this. So as I looked into it and researched it, I found interesting the way people justify to themselves relying on instinct and intuition as opposed to research and facts.
So to you, there is no debate that to have someone on who would make a counterargument that would say, yes, vaccines are dangerous, that's an illegitimate argument in your view because the science doesn't back it up. There is no debate.
Yes, I think at this point, this is probably the issue regarding public health that has received more attention from scientists and researchers around the world than any other single issue. We're sort of at an asked and answered juncture of this.
In 2010, the journal Pediatrics released a poll that showed that 25%, this is last year, 25% of parents believe vaccines can cause developmental disorders in healthy kids. I know that you're a parent. I'm a parent. I've got a kid who has been vaccinated. But You know, I have to admit, every time I took him to the doctor, in the back of my mind, there was that thought. Did you ever have that?
Absolutely. And I think that that is very understandable. And in fact, I think one of the reasons we've gotten to this point is because for too long, the medical community and the public health community treated parents who came in and had concerns as if they were crazy, as if they almost had no right to bring this up.
You have a chapter in the book about Jenny McCarthy, the actress. It's called Jenny McCarthy's Mommy Instinct. And she, of course, is an outspoken vaccination critic. And I want to play a clip for her. This is her appearance on Larry King in 2008.
Well, the schedule back in 1983 was 10 shots given. Today, there are 36 shots given.
You think that's too many?
Too many too soon. We need to get rid of the toxins, the mercury, which I'm so tired of everyone saying that's been removed, aluminum, ether, antifreeze. These are toxic ingredients in shots.
Seth Mnookin, this is scary stuff to hear for any parent. How significant and important has Jenny McCarthy been for the anti-vaccination movement?
She has probably brought more attention to this over the last half decade than any other single person. In that instance, on Larry King, well, there isn't antifreeze in vaccines. Mercury has been removed from childhood vaccines. There is a mercury preservative that is in some variants of the flu vaccine. This is one of those areas people get bogged down in it, but the type of mercury was ethyl mercury as opposed to methyl mercury, which is the mercury that we know can be very poisonous.
And by the way, there has been no link found between the mercury and any developmental disorders.
I mean, not only that, there have been studies involving literally millions of children showing that there is no link. Even if you put on Jenny McCarthy with someone from the CDC or a pediatrician, it gives the impression that there's sort of an equal number of people on two sides of this. And for years, this was framed through a narrative of parents who believed that their children had been injured by vaccines. And that's a very compelling narrative and a very difficult one to counteract with research papers and scientists who sound as if they're speaking to graduate seminars.
Given that 25% of parents are worried about whether vaccines can cause disorders, presumably this is going to become a worse problem.
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons to be hopeful. The public health community and doctors are aware of the need to communicate more effectively in a way that they weren't a decade ago. So in pediatricians' offices, there are now oftentimes informational pamphlets, vaccine seminars that are held after office hours. I think what is dangerous is opening up Google and typing in vaccines autism. And so we need to make intelligent decisions about where we're going to get our information.
That's Seth Mnookin. He's a contributing editor at Vanity Fair. His new book is called The Panic Virus, The True Story of Medicine, Science, and Fear. Seth Mnookin, thank you.
Thank you so much.